No one would doubt that when a piping hot slice of ham comes in contact with kosher beef, it raises a very serious kashrus question. Similarly, it would not take the chief rabbi of Israel to realize that it would be quite problematic to pour milk into chicken broth. What many might not be aware of is the fact that the laws of kashrus even address contact that comes about via airborne substances. Let us examine these types of contact and see some of the ways they impact upon the kashrus of homes and factories. The first airborne substance we will examine is vapor, referred to as zeya in the rabbinic literature. According to halacha, the vapor that comes from a food has the status of the food itself. For example, the vapor wafting upward from the juice in a bowl of beef stew will be considered meaty. The same concept is applied to the vapors that come from dairy and non-kosher foods. It's worth noting that the authorities discuss whether or not vapor from solids is a problem. The generally accepted position is that a vapor from solids is indeed a matter of concern. That notwithstanding, the fact that a vapor comes from a solid may perhaps facilitate a lenient ruling in cases of great need. When a vapor is at a temperature referred to as yad soledes bo, which we generally assume to be about 120 degrees Fahrenheit, it can create a kashrus problem. When such a vapor comes in contact with a food or utensil, it will be absorbed into that food or utensil. For example, if a dairy vapor comes in contact with meat, it may well render the meat non-kosher. Similarly, a non-kosher vapor that comes in contact with a kosher pot may well render the pot non-kosher. If the vapor is very thick, the rabbinic authorities label the vapor as hevel. Hevel is treated with more gravity in halacha than regular zeya. For example, not only can hevel from a beef stew render a dairy oven non-kosher, it can extract a dairy absorption from the oven walls and render the beef stew non-kosher as well. The issue of vapor is relevant to the kitchen of a kosher home. For example, many have the practice of hanging utensils over the stove. If the utensils are dairy, meaty vapor coming from a pot on the stove may cause kashrus problems. The same is true for dairy vapor and meaty utensils. Besides the heat-related absorption issue, there is also the concern of condensate, which is a matter of concern even with cold vapors on a cold surface. When the vapor cools and condenses, it may leave liquid residue on a utensil. If both the vapor and the utensil are cold, there will be no need to kosher the pots or other utensils, but they would require a thorough cleaning or else one may end up cooking or eating milk and meat. As mentioned earlier, the issue of zeya can come up when using an oven. The halachic authorities discuss the unique features of contemporary ovens. Their large volume and their being vented may perhaps lead to leniencies in case of a mishap. Contemporary authorities also discuss the question of water coolers with a spigot that gives forth boiled or nearly boiled water. What if my non-Jewish coworker puts a non-kosher instant soup under the spigot and vapor from the soup touches the spigot? Your local Orthodox rabbi should be consulted in all of these cases. Around Passover time, Jews often arrange the sale of their chametz to a non-Jew. This prevents the Jew from violating the prohibition of owning chametz during Passover. Some people have a custom not to sell full-fledged chametz, known as chametz gomur. This includes such items as bread, cake, and cookies. Within the camp of those who do not sell full-fledged chametz is a subgroup of people who will sell their liquor. This is based on the way that liquor is manufactured. Beer and wine are produced by fermentation. A microorganism converts a carbohydrate into an acid and/or an alcohol and/or carbon dioxide. This fermented product is distilled to create various kinds of liquor. Distillation involves boiling. In distilling a given liquid, some parts of it will reach their boiling points earlier than other parts. A part that reaches its boiling point, or nearby, is changed into a gas and/or a vapor. This airborne substance can be collected and condensed back into a liquid. Being that vodka, gin, vermouth, etc. are products of distillation and condensation, many argue that they do not constitute full-fledged chametz. After all, they say, its proximal origins are gases and vapors. One should follow the custom of his parents or consult their local Orthodox rabbi regarding this issue. The second airborne substance we will examine is aroma, referred to as reyach in the rabbinic literature. According to halacha, the aroma that comes from a food has the status of the food itself. For example, the aroma of macaroni and cheese will be considered dairy. The same concept is applied to the aromas that come from meaty and non-kosher foods. If two foods are in proximity, they may or may not exchange aromas. There are numerous factors involved. The volume of airspace between the two foods, how lean the foods are, how sharp the foods are, and the temperature of the foods. Under certain circumstances, aroma from food A will be absorbed by food B. If a meaty aroma is deemed to have come in contact with cheese, it may well render the cheese non-kosher. If a non-kosher aroma is deemed to have come in contact with kosher food, it may well render that food non-kosher. Your local Orthodox rabbi should be consulted if you have a mishap in your kitchen. They are most likely to occur when using microwaves due to the heat and the small volume. The third airborne substance we will examine is steam. Kashrus issues with steam often come up in the industrial setting. For example, many factories have pieces of equipment, such as kettles, that are covered in whole or in part by pipes carrying steam. This is called steam jacketing. The steam is used to heat the contents of the jacketed vessel. Halachic problems might arise if the substance being heated is non-kosher. When heat from the steam goes from the jacketing into the food, the steam cools down to below its boiling point and, of course, becomes a liquid again, called condensate. The condensate may well be rendered non-kosher by its proximity to the non-kosher food. Factories are often reluctant to dispose of the condensate due to the time and/or expense involved in bringing fresh, cold water to the boiling point. As such, they are more inclined to recycle the hot condensate. It is more efficient to bring the hot condensate back to the boiling point than to start at square one with fresh, cold water. The kashrus issues arise when kosher food is heated by a steam system used for heating non-kosher. Let's say that condensate was rendered non-kosher. When the factory brings the condensate back to the boiling point and uses that steam to heat a kosher product, the kosher product may thereby be rendered non-kosher by its proximity to the non-kosher condensate. In certifying a factory that has a steam system for heating kosher and non-kosher, steps are taken to ensure that the steam and condensate do not compromise the kashrus of the certified products. In some factories, the certifier will insist that the condensate be discarded after heating non-kosher. In other factories, the certifier will require that a substance be added to the condensate that renders it unfit for human consumption. a substance unfit for human consumption never poses a kashrus problem, except, perhaps, for Passover. Smoke is a fourth airborne substance which can make an impact on kosher food preparation, often in areas of halacha in which steam is also of consequence. One area is the prohibition on cooking meat and dairy, and another is the prohibition on eating bishul akum, foods cooked by a nochri. The question is, does the halachic system consider steaming and smoking to be cooking when applied to these two prohibitions? For example, factories often heat food using steam injection. Steam injection involves the direct application of steam to a food without pipes and kettles interceding. There is a type of steam injection that heats the food itself, and there is another type in which the steam heats the liquid in which a solid rests, and the liquid cooks the solid. If bishul akum is relevant to a given food, but a nochri uses steam injection, is the food forbidden? This is a question addressed in contemporary halacha. The OU will not permit such a product unless there are other halachic factors in play that justify a leniency. There are two types of smoking that can be used when processing fish, hot smoking and cold smoking. Not surprisingly, there is no heat involved in cold smoking. Despite that, cold smoking can render a fish edible. Wood chips in the oven are burned, and the oven is thereby filled with smoke. The fish becomes tastier this way. Hot smoking involves putting the fish in an oven and then slowly raising the temperature until a minimum of 145 degrees Fahrenheit. The temperature is held at 145 for 30 minutes. Being that the fish will become edible in the hot oven independent of the smoke, the prohibition of bishul akum applies to fish that was hot smoked. Absent bishul yisrael, a fish that will be hot smoked must first be brined in a saltwater brine. Then it is often cold smoked or dried. These processes often render the fish edible and thereby immune to bishul akum. The OU always verifies that this immunity process is happening prior to certifying hot smoked fish. Another kashrus issue is the smoking of meat and dairy together. If one soaks meat in milk and then hangs that mixture in hot smoke, has one done a prohibition? If so, on a biblical level or on a rabbinic level? The authorities discuss these questions. Similarly, the authorities discuss whether or not food smoked by a nochri is subject to the prohibitions of bishul akum. As we conclude, I would like to express my sincere gratitude to Rabbi Eli Gersten, the recorder of OU Halachic Policy, and to Rabbi Chaim Goldberg, an OU fish expert, for their invaluable help in bringing this tidbit to fruition. Thank you for tuning in.